Bruchim Aboyim, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night Parsha class. And this week's Parsha will be Parsha Bahaloscha. Today is Tez Zayin Sivan, Tav Shin Pei, corresponding with the English calendar, June 8th, 2020. Parsha Bahaloscha is full of so many things to speak about. Just to mention a few, it talks about the menorah and the shemen zayis, talks about the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni, talks about developing a private PA, public address system, through the chatzotros, the two silver chatzotros. It talks about this incident with Miriam and her speaking against Moshe, which the Torah considered lashon hara. So much to talk about, but I'm going to be focusing on something else. I'm going to be focusing on the Anane HaKavod, the holy clouds of glory. The Torah talks about this in Parshas Bahaloscha, Perek Tes, Pasuk Tes Vav, Revi'i, for those who are following with the Chumash. And the pasuk begins, "Ubiyom hakim es hamishkan," and the day that the mishkan was set up, "Kisa ha'anon es hamishkan," a cloud had covered the mishkan, the oil of edus, so the oil of testimony. "Ube'echev yial hamishkan kemari esh ad boker," and in the evening it was upon the mishkan appeared as a fiery cloud until the morning. So the cloud would cover it up, and the fire was there an entire night. Pasuk Zayin continues, and at the time when the cloud would lift up from the ohel, from the sanctuary, then not long afterwards, the Jewish people would begin to travel and follow the cloud. And in that place that the cloud would rest, Sham Yachanu Bnei Yisrael. There Bnei Yisrael would camp. Al Pi Hashem Yisu. Through the word of Hashem they would travel, Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people. Al Pi Hashem Yachanu. And through the word of Hashem they would camp and rest. And all the time that the cloud was on the Mishkan, they would camp and rest. So we're giving you a little bit of a background over here. There are differences of opinion how many clouds there were. Rashi says there were really seven clouds. Rashi later on mentions it. This Sifri mentions there were 13 clouds. I'm going to add another number according to my calculations, and there was 7 plus 1, the one that we just mentioned in the pasuk. That cloud that was hovering on top of the Mishkan, and it was there during day and during night, and when it was time to travel, it would move. The Jewish people were very well disciplined. Sometimes the cloud would be there for a very long time, could be for several years. Sometimes it would be there for a day, for a week, or for a month. But they wouldn't move away and nor complain. They were there, they were with the cloud led them, the cloud protected them, and wherever the cloud went, that is where they followed. All according to Pi Hashem. We all know that these clouds were really miracle clouds. These clouds protected them from the environment, whether from the wind or the sun. It protected them from dangerous animals, snakes and scorpions. The clouds cleaned their clothing. The clouds aided in the clothing growing on them. It was miraculous. The clouds did amazing things. where if they had to pass by a valley, the ground would lift it up in order that their pace would be not troubled. It would be like a highway. If there was a mountain in its way, it would shrink it, and so forth. Miraculous clouds. The Me'amlo Eiz describes the clouds in such a beautiful way. He gives a mashal compared to a king who summons his closest friend, and he's telling him, "My friend, I'm going to come and pay you a visit as a private citizen." He said, "You're coming to me? What do I owe? Owe you such an honorable visit like this?" He says, "I'm coming to pay you a visit." He hardly believed the king. Certainly the king was going to come at night so people wouldn't have to crowd around him and make a commotion. Nope, he says, "I'm coming in the broad daylight. Maybe you're going to come disguised." "No, I'm coming with my royal clothing and my royal coach. I want everyone to see me visit you, and I want you to be honored by my presence." The nimshal, the parable, is what we learn from is that Hashem came down on Har Sinai with the clouds of glory, with the holy clouds. And then after Klal Yisrael said, "Na'aseh v'nishma," Hashem transferred the cloud on top of the Mishkan. Not hidden, for everyone to see, day and night. And everybody knew Hashem's presence was there, and they were honored and very, very much taken by such presence of the Shekhinah. We know, though, that the parsha continues on with a very strange part. We call it interruption, with upside down nuns, nun hafuchas. In between, talking about where the Jewish people are traveling from Har Sinai, all of a sudden there's an interruption. Vayehi ben Sayah Ha'aron Vayom Moshe, Kumu Vayifutzu Avecha Vayinusa Mesanecha Mepenecha, the famous Vayehi ben Sayah. And it finishes another pasuk of Venucha Yoma Shuv Hashem L'Rivais Alfi Yisrael with another upside down noon. What's happening? This parsha is so out of place. Why is there an upside down nun? And this is how it's written in the Torah. And it's like coming in the middle of nowhere. My Rebbe, Reb Chaim Dov Keller Shliten, in Sefer Chideko, quotes a Gemara. It's a Rashi and a Gemara. Rashi says, "Also like simonios, there was these special simonim, these inverted nuns from before and after Vayehi ben Sayah, to say that this is not the place for this parsha. V'lama nichtav kan, why was it written here? Kedei lahafsig ben peronius l'peronius, to make a separation between peronius, a problem, a tragedy, and another one afterwards. Because there were actually three problems that happened one after the other. And the Torah didn't want to write them all one after the other. The Torah wanted to interrupt them with Vayehi ben Sayah. Well, what were these three problems that the Torah found it necessary to interrupt?" So he brings down the first part we know is that the part that they left Har Sinai. They left Har Sinai in a hurry in order not to be given more mitzvahs than they were. they were like escaping Har Sinai. It was like a lack of covered for Har Sinai. What was the second Piranhas? It says, Vayihi ha'am kimis'ayninam. That means to say, the people were complaining already after the third day of traveling of the weariness of the road. What, and what was the third Piranhas? V'hisafsuf asher bikirbo. I said, what? They were complaining. They wanted meat. They wanted something different than man. They weren't happy with the man. And they caused the whole Jewish people to start crying. Now Rashi comes to our rescue over here. This was not the body of the Jewish people. Rashi tells us these were the Erev Rav. These were the Rishoim. These was the newcomers, the converts, who came to Klal Yisrael, but they affected the Jewish people. In both cases, this is how they behaved, and they affected Bnei Yisrael. How do we manage all this? This is at the time when we just got through saying, Al Pi Hashem Yachnu, Al Pi Hashem Yisau. The entire Jewish people were so, so well disciplined and so well affected by the Shekhinah. Then what was happening over here? How could these things have affected us? So, in the Sefer Bikure, Moshe brings down from Rabbi Gedal Yeshua, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, an interesting answer. The shorish of the two chetoim that happened after the mentioning of Vayihi ben Soah, right? The mentioning over there that they were suddenly were excited and they wanted, they had this craving for food and for meat. It really was the result of them leaving Har Sinai in a negative way. They left Har Sinai in a way that displayed a little bit of lack of appreciation of the Torah. So, as Rav Gedal Yeshua, as the Tal explains, now I'll just read part of the text. It says, She'ein machshavos ke'elu bo'os elu b'leiv ponim min ha'chokhma. These kinds of thoughts of all of a sudden being so heightened and so excited with the Kabbalah Satorah, and suddenly you're interested in having a good pastrami sandwich or a good steak dinner, can only come to a person whose machshavos, his mind, has not been involved with learning, with Torah. When it's empty with Torah, so this is what replaces it. And that was the thing that was Gairim the Aveira, or Gairim their complaining. And I say again, this was not the majority of the Jewish people. It was a very, very small segment, but it was contagious. And since this existed, even though they were in Badi Anani HaKavot, they were protected with such insulation, it wasn't good enough for them not to have fallen at the time when the Erev Rav made their complaint. However, I have another answer, which I would like to suggest. And the truth of the matter is, it came about to me, Al Pi Hashgacha, this morning, where I was listening to the B'tochon hotline, and I heard an unbelievable explanation that would touch upon our parasha, Parashas Baloscha, and I think will answer our question. Again, our question is, how could all of this have happened? This is 3 days after Kabbalah Satorah. 3 days after Hashem gave the Torah. And they've been protected by the Anani HaKavot. And they've been like in heaven. so to say. And how could these things happen? So I heard the following explanation about a completely different thing, and the result of this Devar Torah brought out a tremendous insight, which I wanted to share with you. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, talks about the malacha of Seiser. Seiser means to dismantle, to break apart, to destroy a building. Now, the Aveira of Seiser, of destroying a building, can only come about min HaTorah if you destroy it in order to rebuild in that very place. If you destroy to rebuild in the very place, then you have violated a Torah law of the Lamed Tes Malachas, and you would have to bring a korban if it was done b'shogeg. So Gemara then asks a question. How could you say that Soser is an Avera only if you destroy it in this place and you will rebuild it in the very same place? But if you rebuild your destruction in another place, right, you just destroy in this place, then it's not a violation of the Torah, of the Lamed Tes Malachos. So Gemara answers from our pasuk here in Parshas Baloscha. The Torah tells us, Al pi Hashem yachanu, Al pi Hashem yisou. Ask the Gemara, what does that have to do with taking apart a building? If anything, it has nothing to do with the Aveira or the Malacha. Because remember, if we're supposed to compare a Malacha of the Lamed Tes Malachas to the way it was in the Mishkan, well, the Mishkan was always in transit. You would take it apart here in point A, and you would rebuild it in point B. And they would do that all the time. So if the Mishkan was taken apart in point A and put in point B, why is the halacha not the same? That when you destroy a building, it has to be in that place that you want to rebuild it. But if you want to rebuild it in a different place, then you didn't violate the halacha. So what is the Gemara saying? The fact that they traveled means that they traveled from one place to another, which would mean that they had actually took it apart and then you rebuilt it in another place. So how could the Gemara here say that Soser is only in the case where you rebuilt the place where you destroyed it and not in another place? The Mefarshim are struggling, and they came up with a very interesting explanation. When the Jewish people traveled in the desert, they traveled like a mother is holding a baby. When the baby is in the hands of a mother, and a mother travels from point A to point B, or from point B to point C, if you would be able to communicate with the baby, you would ask him, how many places did your mother go to? He says, didn't go anywhere. I'm in the hands of my mother. I trust my mother. I am close to my mother. I rely on my mother. And we didn't go anywhere. It says, Mefarshim, when the Torah says, Al pi Hashem yachanu, v'al pi Hashem yiso, that's exactly the case. When the Jewish people travel in the desert, they travel with so much emunah and betachin, with such faith in Hashem, that the taking apart of the Mishkan and bringing it to another location miles away was not really a different place. In the mind and the emotions of Klal Yisrael, they were still in the hands of Hashem. They didn't go anywhere. It was still in the very same place. And since they were in the very, very same place, therefore, the halacha is, when you destroy a building, you can only violate it only if you're going to rebuild it in the same place. If you rebuild it in a different place, then you don't violate the Aveira. Here, you learn out from where? From the case of the Anania Kavod. We learn it from the Anania Kavod that since wherever they were in the protection and in the hands of Hashem all the time, like a baby in the hands of a mother. The baby doesn't know of anything around the mother. In the eyes of the baby didn't go anywhere. The baby stayed in a stationary place. The baby was in the hands of the mother. And being that's the case, so we are learning a very interesting thing. That therefore, in the laws of Shabbos, you can only violate destroying a building or a structure only if you're going to rebuild it in that place. And what's the proof? From our parsha. In the parsha of Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, Al Pi Hashem Yisrael. That's where we learn it from. They would travel Al Pi Hashem. Everything was Al Pi Hashem. Everything was Emunah Hashem. Everything was with his trust. Therefore, they didn't have any fears. They didn't have any worries. Everything was Al Pi Hashem. They didn't go anywhere. The whole time, they were in the desert with HaKadosh Baruch Hu leading them. They was all Al Pi Hashem. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, adds to this, and he says, the Pasuk in Tehillim, where David HaMelech, when he was being chased and in a state of turmoil, always stated, the Pasuk in Tehillim by the Shir HaMalos, Kuf Lamed Aleph, Kigamul Alei Imoy, Kagamul Alei Nafshi. Like a nursing child at his mother's side is my soul. Like a nursing child is my soul. I'm not worried. I'm not in panic. I'm not in a crisis. Even though there's a lot of things going around me, I have faith in Hashem. And therefore, nothing is happening that's going to trouble me. Having said this, I think we have a beautiful answer to our original question. My question was, how could all these things happen? How could it be that people had a lack of respect for the Torah? People complained about being the third day in their traveling. How could people start complaining about the mun and wanted meat? It's only for those individuals who did not feel that Hashem was watching them. There was a lack of emunah betachin. And therefore, the lack of emunah betachin, that's where that set in. That feeling became a reality. And therefore, all of these things came about in the parsha. The Jewish people complained about their traveling, they complained about the mun, they wanted meat. And this, of course, was upsetting because this was replacing the real feelings that they should have that would be emunah betachin. The Shalom HaKadosh just brings out the whole idea how much we should try to invest in emunah betachin by saying throughout our day, when you're doing something, I'm going to do this by Ezus Hashem, with mentioning God's name, or Imirta Hashem, or Baruch Hashem, that God's name should be mentioned in your daily behavior, your daily dealings with one another. And you shouldn't be embarrassed to do it. A Jew says, how are you doing? Baruch Hashem, I'm doing okay. Or if things are not going as well as you want things to go, it says, I have trust in Hashem. Be'ez Hashem, things will go a little better. I'm trusting Hashem. I'm trusting in this. We have to try to inject in our daily behavior the feeling that Hashem is around us. It should be al pi Hashem yiso, al pi Hashem yachanu. We have to know that we are, when we travel through life, we should have to feel that way. It's a process. It's a very important process. The Chofetz Chaim brings down in this pasuk, al pi Hashem yachnu, al pi Hashem yiso, that he explains that life is a journey. Life is a very long journey. And in certain parts of life, things are settling down or things are quieter than others. And it's easier to perform mitzvahs and to serve Hashem properly, whether it's going to the minyanim or whether it's purchasing kosher food when you're on the road, or doing various mitzvahs and helping others with acts of chesed. And it's also a trip. Life is a journey. Sometimes we're always in the go. We're in goas. And we have to do our best, even when we're on the go. Sometimes we need to ask a Rav Shaila. Today, in the world of technology, you're close to a Rav as you are to your cell phone. You have a Shaila? Ask the Rabbi. Ask the Rav. You have a Shaila in Kashrus? You could text the COR. You usually get a message instantly. Even while we're in Golus, even while we're on the road, we have to bear in mind that wherever we are, just the way the Jewish people lived in the desert, it was al pi Hashem. They rested al pi Hashem. Al pi Hashem yiso. Al pi Hashem, when we're traveling, we also have to be al pi Hashem. That means to say, we have to recognize Hashem is around us. We have to trust in Him all the time. We have to also behave in that light, in that mode of living that would bring a Kiddush Hashem. We have to do whatever we can, even when we are in traveling from place to place, and when where things are not as comfortable as we would like it to be. Just to give you a little example, the ultimate from Nirvadik, just to show you what it's a concept, how he lived with Hashem all around him. He was waiting for a train, and he got busy learning, and he missed the train. So he didn't say, "I missed the train." No. It was a shared for him to miss it. He says, "No, I just came an hour early for the next train." That's how he answers someone. Because everything that happens in our lives is al pi Hashem. If we live with this message, then we have a whole different perspective in life. Things that have happened to us when things are settled and quiet, it's al pi Hashem. And when things are a little bit topsy-turvy and things are not the way it should be, such as in the time that we're living today with the COVID-19, and people are really in many ways displaced and they're not sure where they should be davening, what's going to be with their children's schooling, what's going to be with their jobs, what's going to be with safety on the streets. We have a lot of things that are up in the air. But that's when we apply the pasuk. Al pi Hashem yachnu, v'al pi Hashem yisau. There is no time that what we're doing is not al pi Hashem. If we have a question of what it is, then we have to ask the Rav when there's something that is unclear to you. Now, in contemporary society, we are in a state, perhaps, of Yisau, and it's still al pi Hashem. It must still be al pi Hashem. We have to try to see when we're davening privately, who we should daven bisman, whether it's krishma, whether it's tefillah, and if we have things that have to get done, do the best we can while we're home. Outside, we know should be social distancing. Inside our houses, there should be social bonding, bonding with your spouse, with your family, and of course with Hashem. May the message of Al Pi Hashem Yachnu V'Al Pi Hashem Yisoo always ring in our ears, to know that when you live with Emunah B'Tochen, there is no accident. Everything happens with a reason, and there's a cause. And when we live with Al Pi Hashem, we will be like the child in the hands of the mother, who doesn't fear, who has confidence that just like the mother takes him wherever she goes, he has no fear and no worries. And by living this way, with Emunah B'Tochen, even though we're living in a state of Yisoo, where things are a little bit topsy-turvy, and yes, Hashem, we will find peace in our lives and confidence in Hashem. Have a great week.